Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
In our midst, even when we don't expect you. We thank you that you come to us bearing the wounds, not hiding them, but showing us that they persist even as we are resurrected, and the beauty in that contradiction. We ask that you would be with us this morning, open our hearts and minds to hear how it is that you call us to bear your resurrection into this world. Amen. Please be seated. In seminary, I took an intensive course called Leadership in the Age of Crisis. Little did I know how useful that class would be to my ministry. In the 6 years I've been a priest, I've seen wave after wave of crisis. And that's exactly what this professor said would happen. Crisis is here to stay. It's not going anywhere. What we have to do now is learn how to live in a broken world without being broken by it. These poignant words came back to me last Sunday night when I saw the breaking news story of yet another instance of violence in our nation, this time the shooting of Dante Wright in Minnesota. He was killed by a police officer at a traffic stop on his way home from a car wash. He was 20 years old. Meanwhile, less than 10 miles away, the Derek Chauvin trial grinds on as we fast approach the one-year mark since the death of George Floyd. This week, as it has in so many weeks over this last year, this professor's question echoes in my mind. How do we live in this broken world without being broken by it? We are not the first to ask this question. I am certain it is one only too familiar to Jesus himself, who knew something about living an abundant life in spite of the brokenness around him. We meet him today in the Gospel of Luke in one of several post-resurrection experiences. The setup is the same as we heard last week, just from Luke's gospel this time. The disciples are gathered in a room, likely trying to make sense of the events of the past days and weeks, when a resurrected Jesus enters and startles them. They're confused and scared, likely doubting their own sanity. Are they seeing a ghost? Jesus responds to their fear by offering them, as one writer put it, the tactile testimony of his body. He offers them his hands and feet with their wounds as proof that he is who he says he is. And when the disciples need a bit more assurance that he's in fact a real person, he expresses a most basic need, his hunger, and asks for something to eat. As the author Debbie Thomas said, simply by expressing physical hunger and accepting bodily nourishment, Jesus turns trauma into communion. He draws near to them by joining them in this basic need of living beings, moving out of the realm of the unimaginable to something so basic, so ordinary. Once he has eaten, Jesus reiterates his teachings and purposes and explains that the project ahead is for forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning right where they are. He wraps up his words with a stunning final sentence: "You are witnesses of these things." You are witnesses of these things. Witness of the horror, shock, and disbelief of Jesus' death and resurrection, and all that will remain. I hear Jesus' words as if he spoke them to us yesterday. We are witnesses of his death and resurrection. We're the witnesses to the brokenness of this world in all its painful forms, and we are witnesses to the hope that only God can bring to it. We are witnesses, as I said in my sermon last week, of the truth that Jesus shows us it's possible to be wounded and resurrected at the same time. As part of the crisis leadership class I mentioned before, we read a book called Spirit and Trauma, A Theology of Remaining. In it, the author Shelley Rambo looks to Holy Saturday, the day between Good Friday and Easter, to lay out a theology that addresses the experience of living in the aftermath of trauma. Instead of focusing on ideas of redemption that gloss over our brokenness, she instead puts forth a vision of the Holy Spirit's witness from within the depths of human suffering. For her, the good news of Christianity for those who experience trauma rests in the capacity to identify the holy in that middle space. It doesn't rest in either the event of the cross or the resurrection, but instead on how a person experiences both the cross and the resurrection, moving constantly back and forth between these two, and tells the truth from this place, witnessing from this place. The good news, Shelley Rambo continues, lies in the ability of Christian theology to witness between life and death, and its ability to forge a new discourse between the two. What she wrote brought to mind the experience of the disciples we heard today, and also the experience of those people in Minnesota witnessing the trauma that's unfolding there. Those who have seen violence and death are bound together by this experience, but they also stand as witnesses to the truth that this is not the way the world has to be. There is another way. There is more than this. And as they begin to speak both of these truths, to live in that holy Saturday in-between place where death is real, but it's not the final story, where resurrection happens, but it bears the wounds of all that it has been through, from this place of truth-telling, the witnesses to these truths will be the ones to lead us to places of resurrection. Not quick fixes or panaceas or naive hopes for a carefree world, but wounded resurrection that bears the scars of all that has been and yet still hopes, still believes, still brings about new life. Turning back to that echoing question we began with, how do we live in this broken world without being broken by it? Our first answer is that we look to Jesus, who rose from the most shattered places of life and death, with the marks of the journey still on him. He rose not in a state of perfect triumph, but with a wounded, broken body. And it's his broken body, perfect in its imperfection, that we follow. I think of the famous line that a prison guard supposedly found scribbled on a piece of paper in Dietrich Bonhoeffer's cell shortly before his death. He wrote, "Only a suffering God can help." We have a God who suffered. And this is exactly the kind of God we need. As Debbie Thomas wrote, the physical resurrection of Jesus is God's definitive offering of both compassion and justice, of all that has been taken, broken, mistreated, wronged, and forgotten, and showing us that it will be restored. That is how we will live in this broken world without being broken by it. By proclaiming the justice and love that comes with Jesus' physical resurrection, that the brokenness around us will not break us in the end. This is how we'll live in a world without being broken by it, by clinging to hope rooted in the life and death and resurrection of a suffering God. This is my gasping prayer. As I watch with helplessness and horror, as our country reckons again with its deep-seated hate and racism, as hatred and violence flare again and again, as new COVID variants rise, as empires fall, the world is broken. And we may find ourselves reaching that place in which we feel a little broken by it, but our faith reminds us that we will rise again with wounds still visible to be the witnesses to a never-ending love and a hope that will remain. Amen.